آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الله أكبر. Learning the lives of the Sahaba is really studying the lives of the best. The best of the best. رضي الله عنه. We learn about a Sahabiyya who was very close to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. All the Sahaba are special. But in ranking, after Ummahatul Mu'mineen, she holds a very similar category. She hailed from a foreign land, a land of the Christian people, a land that was under the Romans, after being under the Greek. A land where in history, subhanallah, Yusuf alayhi salam came to. And through him, alhamdulillah, the people were helped. And through him, alhamdulillah, the Muslims of the time, the Bani Israel, came there. A land where Hazrat Musa alayhi salam performed many miracles, where he transformed the staff into a real stick, and he gave da'wah, he invited the Pharaoh to Allah. A land where, subhanallah, the blessed mother of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam hailed from. Who is she? How did she become one of these glorious pearls, precious pearls, subhanallah, in the necklace of Nubuwa? Subhanallah, she becomes part of Ahlul Bayt. How? And who is she? Subhanallah, she is none other than Hazrat Mariya bint Shamoon, radiyallahu anha. Mariya, radiyallahu anha. She came to Medina Munawwara after Sulhul Hudaybiyah, where there was a peace treaty between the Muslims, Medina Munawwara, and the Meccan community. And in that peace treaty, subhanallah, there was ceasefire for 10 years. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sahaba far and wide to convey the message of Allah's deen and to deliver the letters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inviting the different kings to Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got these letters enshrined and he had got his ring manufactured, subhanallah. And enshrined on the ring was Muhammad Rasulullah, subhanallah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now obviously you start writing on the page from the top and then you go down. But here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got his name enshrined at the bottom. And Rasul above Muhammad and Allah right on top out of respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sent Sahaba radiyallahu anhum to the Persian emperor. He sent Sahaba to the Roman emperor. He sent Sahaba to the king of Abyssinia. He sent Sahaba to Bahrain. Where and where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent his letters? Why did he send this message to these non-Muslim kings? Many of them were the superpowers of the them day. But they also have to receive the message of Islam. The da'wat of Islam has to be given to the whole world. Just here I want to draw this lesson, respected Ummah. So many people we meet on a daily basis. How many of us are traveling, especially throughout the year? We all are travelers in this world. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. We all are journeying. We all are in this journey of this world. We are musafirun. We are travelers. But Allahu Akbar, we meet so many people. So many don't know. I ask you, they don't know who is our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Try it out in your own circle. People out there in our countries know Jesus Christ, even though their belief about him is not correct. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. But they feel they know so much because they've received the message about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam many, many a time, over and over again, for many, many centuries. But they don't know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. How come? Why? This is my question to you. Who was supposed to tell them? Who was supposed to tell them? Who was supposed... Subhanallah, so many non-Muslims, the only information they gain about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from negative sources. And then you and I make excuses. They know more about our religion than us. They know more... There's no such thing. They don't know. They only gain from incorrect sources. They don't know this magnificent, glorious, amazing beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom every Nabi came from. For his time,
for a period, for a community, for an area. They came for a limited period of time to a limited community. Our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came for humanity in totality. His nubuwa transcended all bounds of race, nationality, color, region, language. All barriers, subhanallah, are transcended through the nubuwa of our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But today, why don't they know him? And who was supposed to tell them? You and I are comfortable in our day-to-day lives. We very hunky-dory. And then to travel, to tell people, Allah forgive us, that we're not prepared to do. Many a time, alhamdulillah, we'll go to Muslims. Allah reward those who are doing that. That is also a great responsibility. To go to the non-Muslims, there's very, very few of us to take on this responsibility, which is a duty, which is also a great work and task of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ummah. And shockingly, we all want to travel. You go way and way in the world, there's Muslims traveling there. We go there and we make all out efforts in booking our tickets, elaborate planning. We have people to pick us up. We have our arrangements made, not only for Umrah, everywhere Muslims are going. Throughout the country, Muslims travel. But every arrangement will be made. Even the meat and the marinade, that also has to be to perfection. But we will not carry some literature, some information where we can share. Allah forgive us, this intention is not even anywhere in our minds. No, it's not our duty. Oh, we'll see. We're not prepared to go through a little bit of inconvenience to make some literature available, to carry a few booklets in our hand luggage. If something was important to us, we would have done so. We would have made some effort. There's so many suitable books. Just one message of Naji Arafat. Just a brief illustrated guide to understanding Islam. A readily, easily available book explaining the miracles of the Quran. So amazing. We can carry a few of this in our hand luggage. And wherever we go in the world, through interaction, through akhlaq, through sharing, you're preparing a braai somewhere in some country or in some resort. You're already doing it. Whether you should do it or not, I'm not discussing that issue. People are doing it already. Brothers, you are doing it. Prepare a few extra pieces and not as leftovers, pass, send your children to give the people who are staying in that same resort with you with the intention of hidayah. Your wife prepared some lovely biryani, akni, put a few plates, send your son to that uncle, send your daughter to that auntie. And like that, we have a mission, we have a purpose, we have a goal. But is that too difficult for us? Islam is right there in Lodium, available. Teachers have got this book translated in Allahu Akbar, almost every language. He won't even charge you. Go there, pick up this kitab. Islam is. We went to Botswana, we even managed to get the Setswana translation. Alhamdulillah, how many we took to the people. And people are so elated when you make it available to them. Everything we check up. What's the weather like? We check up. What food people eat there? We check up. We'll need some extra sauce. That also will find place in our luggage and we'll wrap it up properly. But something for somebody to get hidayah. A few translations of the Quran. Keep it. Present it. Look for opportunities. Like a fisherman. Like a fisherman. How he puts the bait and he stands waiting, and he waits for the bite, sees the opportunity, like a businessman, like a trader, like an entrepreneur, looking for the catch. This without any ulterior motive. What is our motive? That humanity must know the truth. Humanity must also hear the truth about our Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, about our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and through our journeys also. Render the adhan wherever we go in a beautiful tone where it's not hidden from people. Make deen available with akhlaq, with character, with kindness. And those very few that are not interested, do not force them. No problem, sir. Have a lovely day. May God bless you. And carry on. There are so many who are interested. But the devil will whisper to us, no, we'll start this when all the Muslims come right. Or, no, what if they ask us something complicated? Brother, sister, nobody's asking complicated things. Very few ask that. And we do have the answer that, you know, I'm going to get back to you. Such a good question you've posed. I will get back to you. And you take their number and you speak to the ulama and you'll get the answer for them. But don't make frivolous, flimsy excuses not to fulfill our duty. When we are going everywhere. So here Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu. He sent them to convey the message, to give the da'wah, to convey the deen. He sent them with the letter. Sometimes the devil will whisper, no, what if they throw it away? Not even a fraction of people, not even 1% will throw it away. Most people's reaction would be, thank you, we really appreciate it. Imagine if wisely you helped the elderly man pick up his bag, you helped him put his bag in his trolley. You helped the elderly ma, your wife helped that elderly ma. You were going to bring one cup coffee for your wife. You saw an elderly man, you brought an extra cup. After that, you gave one literature, just one message. Sir, here's something for you. Enjoy it on your journey. And if you want to make more information available, a book on the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's so much of literature available from so many sources. You can order from Darul Ihsan, beautiful literature, from IBC. You can order us a minimal fee. Keep it available. Some people, Allahu Akbar, we have elaborate businesses. Every sort of, mashallah, goods we have available. Before the amount reaches 20-30% of what's left, we make sure we order again. We must have the stocks, especially during the seasonal times. But you give them some literature, it's hidden somewhere in some back cupboard. Do you need a few more? You ask the man 2 or 3 years later, oh, there still is. Subhanallah. There's no concern that humanity, at least those who we are interacting with, and look how the devil has tricked us. He puts this whispering also in our brains and our minds that maybe the customer won't come back. That you worried about. And I tell you, 99% the man is going to come back because what you gave him was some means of salvation. He will see the truth that Islam is not terrorism. Islam is the truth. And some people who might very slight chance that someone will object, what you'll say is, see, there's so many incorrect sources portraying Islam as barbaric or terrorism. How shouldn't we express the truth to them? Don't the missionaries portray their message in the same way? We want people to know the truth about Islam. We're not forcing people. And when you explain that nicely to people, they really appreciate it. Then even the one person who tries to stop you, even that person will take. And subhanallah, let us not lose out and let us not shirk concerning our responsibility. And who was the Sahabi who our beloved sent to give da'wah to this king where this great Sahabiya hails from? The Sahabi was none other than this Badri Sahabi, Hazrat Hatib bin Abi Balta'a, radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Hatib arrives in the imperial court of Alexandria by the king. Jurayj ibn Mina, his title was Muqawqis. Hiraqal, Najashi, Muqawqis, all of them received Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's letters with the greatest of respect. Their response was very, very polite. There were few like Kisra Abrawes who tore Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's letter. If somebody shows disrespect, that doesn't mean we must stop. We have a mission. We have a goal, we have a purpose. Alhamdulillah. And the reaction that had on Kisra's kingdom was, his kingdom was torn apart due to him disrespecting Rasulullah's letter. When the Sahabi arrives, he was welcomed. And he came upstairs into the balcony and he sat with Muqawqis. And Muqawqis heard him out very, very attentively. Istama'a ilayhi. He listened to him attentively. And this Sahabi, subhanallah, so eloquently presented truth to him. But the king did say, oh so and so, ya hada,
We already have a religion. We'll never just leave it like that. Unless what you teach is more sensible, is more beautiful. إِلَّا لِمَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. So subhanAllah, Hazrat Hatib noticed the intelligence, the keenness in Muqawqis. So he says, see, we call you to such a deen, ila deen al-Islam, the deen which is submission to the one Almighty God. Al-Kafi bihillah faqda ma siwa. In this deen, Allah the Almighty suffices for everything else that every other religion doesn't have. And such a beautiful thing. Even when the missionary comes to you, you can actually say to them, see sir, sadly, what we were supposed to be doing, they are doing. Allahumma Maulana Maruf Sahib was mentioning, rahimahullah, from Sri Lanka, that they were in Jamaat in Africa, and Allah reward the Satis. They at least making some sacrifice. Subhanallah, they were in deep in these jungles of Africa, and they took this, you know, this bus, and it was so difficult because the roads are rocky terrain, rugged. And after some time, the one Sati said to Hazrat, that, you know, I think Jannat becomes wajib here now. And after some time, when they're looking for a certain location they want to stop at, there was a missionary young woman on the bus. So when they wanted to get off at the wrong spot, the one of them said, no, it's not here. Your stop where you're getting off is the next stop. It'll come there shortly. It'll be coming shortly. Anyway, he asked her, that how do you know? She says, no, we're here and we go there every Wednesday. And for how long have you been going there? No, we travel this road actually every day for the last 2 years. Subhanallah, subhanallah. That's why Hazrat Maulana Yusuf rahimahullah used to cry and say, Allah, I complain to you. Kasal al muwahideen wa nashat al mulhideen. That the mu'min, the muwahid, ya Allah, has lazily sat with the truth. And the kafir has actively exerted himself in spreading his falsehood. So this sahabi says, and also sometimes, subhanAllah, we told the missionary so beautifully, see that you come to teach us something. But our deen has everything. And you can call your child. See, our deen even teaches us what our child must read, how to seek Almighty's protection before we're going to relieve ourselves, how we should wash, how we should live clean. Internally, externally, how we should clean our plate, how we should treat our parents, how we should be with our wife, how should we interact with our children, our staff. Seize the opportunity and showcase our beautiful deen. They came to you. Now we chase them away. Just not 2-3 weeks ago, I was having a program somewhere in Plattenberg Bay, and the one man is saying, no, I chased them away. But after he heard the explanation, that who's going to give them the message? They got falsehood. They're trying to spread that. We were supposed to spread the truth. Then subhanAllah, Hazrat Hatib explained, this great Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called humanity to the truth. Those who were harsh were the Quraysh. Those who were very hostile were the Yahud. But the Christians were always closest. So he's referring to the verse of the Quran Kareem, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. Then he explains the time we live in. See, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam comes after Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. So how you would call them to believe in Hazrat Isa alayhi salam as well? In the same way, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes after Isa alayhi salam. And Isa alayhi salam gave good news to his people about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now it becomes your duty to accept Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, because Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, gave the good news about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what we are saying is, not that we are stopping you from the Masih, the Messiah, Hazrat Isa. We actually saying that you have to believe him to be one of Allah's mighty messengers, one of Allah's greatest men. وَلَسْنَا نَنْهَاكَ عَنْ دِينِ الْمَسِيحِ وَلَكِنَّا نَأْمُرُكَ بِهِ. What we are advocating is the way of the Anbiya and the way of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah. So beautifully the Sahabi expressed this message to Muqawqis. Muqawqis was inspired. He actually said that, I'm looking into what you are saying, what your Nabi has taught. Because this Sahabi also explained the beautiful teachings of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, where we have these opportunities, you have to express clearly. See, humanity, we have to make it clear, make the deen
clear. Explain who is our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught in all aspects. After the Sahabi explained, Subhanallah, Muqawqis actually said, what he has advocated is something that all of us need. This man cannot be a magician or somebody astray or a fortune teller or a liar. I find with him the sign of prophethood. Subhanallah. And I will think about it. Most people do want to think about it. He also, with great respect, preserved the letter, the epistle of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something else interesting that could have happened, that happened here, was he asked one interesting question, that why was it when your man sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you speak of, the messenger, when he was banished from Makkah and they tried to kill him, couldn't he overcome his people if he's really the man of Allah, the man of Almighty God? So the Sahabi, subhanAllah, responds that when they tried to kill Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Allah raised him, they tried to kill him, did he pray for them or did he curse them? In the same way, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ill-treated by his people, but these are merciful souls. They prayed for the people. And when he gave the example of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, that how he prayed for the people, this man was inspired. He said, you are so wise. Ataita min indi hakim. And he who has sent you is so wise. So subhanallah, the king was really inspired. He gave many gifts for our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he even sent some of his soldiers, his guards, to escort the Sahabi radiallahu anhu to safety. And among the gifts, subhanallah, was none other than Hazrat Maria radiallahu anha. Maria or Maria. Both pronunciations are correct. Meaning with a sakin on the ya or a tashdeed on the ya. Bint Shamoon radiallahu anha. And her sister Sirin. So Maria and Sirin radiallahu anhuma. And subhanallah, both of them en route embraced Islam. They saw, they heard the beauty of Islam. And they embraced Islam. He also sent an amazing mule, a white mule. The name of the mule was Duldul. So this mule is famous in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on occasions rode on this mule, like in the expedition of Hunain. This mule lived right till the time, the reign of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He sent some garments from the special exquisite garments of Egypt. And also he sent a slave by the name Ma'bur. He was a castrated slave. He sent a glass bowl. He sent some honey. Allahu Akbar. And on the return journey, he made Islam available to Hazrat Maria. She wanted Islam. Herself and her sister, both, alhamdulillah, embraced Islam. Radiallahu anhuma. But she didn't know, subhanallah, what Allah had kept in store for her. How Allah chose her. How Allah made this journey a means of her hidayah. Subhanallah. Not only that, what Allah chose for her, that she becomes the mother of the child of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How exquisite, how spectacular, really, really amazing is Allah's decree. Allah se hota hai, makhluk se nahi hota. How everything happens according to Allah's decree. How Allah wills and Allah plans, subhanallah. How Allah ta'ala makes plans for every person. Subhanallah. Hazrat Maria and her sister were welcomed in Medina Munawwara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took her in his care. And Hazrat Sirin radiallahu anha was gifted to Hazrat Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, who he then wedded her radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arranged for Hazrat Maria radiallahu anha a dwelling from the dwellings of Hazrat Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu, a great sahabi who Allah blessed with property. And he would love, alhamdulillah, to make his properties available to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then from Hazrat Haritha's home, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arranged for her another home in the area called Mashruba Ummi Ibrahim, fil Aliya, in the area of Medina called Aliya, and that is known as the room or the area or the home of Hazrat Ummu Ibrahim. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would very often visit her and spend time with her, subhanallah. And Allah chose her, subhanallah, that after some time, Allah chose her to bear the blessed child of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in her womb, Allahu Akbar. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visits her one day and she brings this amazing news to him. What's the news? Subhanallah. بِأَنَّهَا حَامِلْ
she is pregnant with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's child. Subhanallah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was almost 60 at the time. And he had lost all his children. Radiyallahu anhun. Subhanallah. His sons also passed on in Makkah Mukarramah. His daughters passed away in Madinah Munawwarah. Subhanallah. His daughter that was still left in this world was none other than Hazrat Fatima Az-Zahra radiyallahu anha. And this good news brought a lot of joy to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this also reminded him of his forefather Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Subhanallah. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's Mubarak wife Hazrat Hajar radiyallahu anha alayhi salam. Subhanallah. That the Quran Kareem tells us about Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and how Allah Ta'ala accepted Hazrat Hajar. Allahu Akbar. Not long ago I was on a flight and there was a family next to me. So I tried to make this man's ikram, and I then asked his name and I introduced myself. His name was Yusuf. And anyway, he introduced his children to me, 6 children, a doctor living in South Africa, but Jewish. Anyway, we had a discussion. I tried to make his ikram. And in that I asked him, "But sir, tell me, I wanted to share something with you. What a wonderful name. Doesn't this mean Yusuf in Arabic?" He says, "Yes. In Hebrew it's Yusuf, but in Arabic, yes, it is Yusuf. And in English, Joseph." And that's something interesting, because in the Aramaic and Hebrew languages, there was no J. That's why Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's name was Isa, and in Aramaic, Isa. Probably he won't even recognize himself as Jesus, because there was no J in his language. That's why same with Yusuf. There was no Joseph, Yusuf. Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. So I mentioned to him that, you know, look at the acknowledgement of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He asked his companions about the noblest of people. And they asked him, "You teach us." So he said, "The noblest of men is Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph, the son of Yaqub, Jacob, who's the son of Ishaq, Isaac, who's the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam." He says, "Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that." I said, "Yes, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he is the noblest of people, and the Quran speaks of them." And after elaborating on this, I asked him, "But what about the verses in Genesis where the Old Testament," because they only accept the Old Testament, the Bible speaks of Hazrat Ismail, where Allah says to Ibrahim in Genesis 17:20, that "I will make Ibrahim and his progeny a great nation, and they will bear the fruit." So I asked him, "What does this mean?" And doesn't the Bible say, the Old Testament that they believe and accept, doesn't it say that Ibrahim alayhi salam was 86 when Ismail was born, and he was the only son, and we discussed that. And then one of his son's names was Sha'ya. So he knew that Sha'ya in Aramaic and Arabic, and Isaiah in English. So I said, "Yes, there's a chapter in the Bible, Isaiah, the Old Testament." He says, "That's why I named him that." So I said to him, "Sir, I want you to look into Isaiah 42. And interestingly, in this chapter, subhanallah, and I would love the ulama to look this up in Tafsir Ibn Kathir, under the ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab, "Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi'idhnihi wa sirajan munira wa bashiril mu'minina bi'anna lahum minallahi fadlan kabira." Under this ayah, subhanallah, Allama Ibn Kathir brings a report where Allah addresses Hazrat Sha'ya alayhi salam, "And qum fi qawmika bani Israel." Stand up and talk to your people, the Bani Israel. "Fa inni muntiqun lisanak." I will make you speak. And he speaks about the final Nabi of Allah. "Wab'athuhu laysa bifuddin wala ghalidin wala sakhabin fil aswaq. And lo yamurru ila jambi sirajin lam yutfi'hu min sakinatihi. وَلَوْ يَمْشِي عَلَى الْقَصَبْ لَمْ يُطْفَعْ لَمْ يُسْمَعْ مِنْ تَحْتِ قَدَمَيْ." An amazing report where Allah describes the final Nabi of Allah, his character, his politeness, his compassion, his mercy, how he will come to the whole world. Now interestingly, in Isaiah 42, there's somewhat a very similar report. But obviously, they removed the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the description is exactly
the same. And what's very interesting is I said to him, check up here, it even mentions that he comes from to the people and from the people of Qaidar. So I asked him, you know who's Qaidar? He said he doesn't know. So I said, Qaidar is one of the sons of Ismail alayhi salam, from his 12 sons. So I said to him, you know who's from the offspring of Qaidar? None other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, that doctor was spellbound. After some time, I was standing not far from the toilet area on the flight, and his son went past. So I had a little chat with him, and he's telling me, you know what? Not long ago, I read about the sons of Ismail, the 12 sons, in the Bible. So I said, yeah, can you remember Qaidar? He says, yes. So anyway, alhamdulillah, there was some good inroads there. And I, you know, I must carry the literature also after the discussion, after the ikram. We have to, alhamdulillah, give the dawat. And when you speak nicely to people politely, then they will take what you give them. Alhamdulillah, we want them to take it home. We want them to read it. And alhamdulillah, when you travel with your children also, make them also deliver and give the literature, but in a polite manner. Allahu Akbar. And Sahaba took Islam to that region. Inshallah, we will discuss further concerning some aspects of this, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.